Good evening and welcome to The Buck Stops Here. In a week when five gay Indians went to the Supreme Court seeking protection of their fundamental right to personal safety and liberty under the Constitution, making the case that Section 377 violated them and were referred to the Chief Justice, India has decided once again to show the world it's not ready to accept and protect these very rights for all its citizens. This now by abstaining at the UN Human Rights Council on a vote to institutionalize an independent expert to work solely for the protection of the LGBT community globally from violence and discrimination based on their sexual preference. India says it had no choice given that the Supreme Court is hearing curative petitions asking that this colonial era retrograde section of the IPC be repealed. But could the government have separated decriminalizing homosexuality from the more fundamental need to protect citizens from crime and prejudice irrespective of their sexual preference and taken a stand? Well, to talk about India's stand and whether it could have been different, I'm being joined in the studio by former diplomat Meera Shankar. She served in Germany and the United States as ambassador as well. We have a spokesperson of the Delhi Catholic Archdiocese, Father Sarvamuthu Shankar, as well with us. From the BJP, we're hoping to be joined by Krishna Sagar Rao in Hyderabad and Salman Sos from the Congress, as well as from Mumbai, Apurva Asrani, writer and director, writer of Aligarh and an editor. He writes extensively on these issues. Meera Shankar, let me first open this with you, because India has abstained at this. Sure. One can interpret an abstention in many ways, saying that they didn't want to obstruct the creation of this rapporteur's office, but it can also be seen as an unwillingness to take a clear stand.
I think India's position has improved a little from the last UN vote, which took place on this on the issue of giving allowances for gay spouses of UN diplomats when we had voted against. So in that sense, you could say it's an evolution in India's position. Partly it's dictated by the fact that, you know, your own domestic laws have not changed. So I would say that the, you know, basic issue here would be, you know, how and when those laws are going to change.
Right, ma'am. In fact, the MEA has said that because there's a curative petition and several petitions before the Supreme Court on Section 377, that was the reason for the abstention. But the other argument is that the demand to repeal Section 377 is about the criminalization of a sexual act. Sure. This is about a rapporteur's office that has been set up to protect people from violent crime and discrimination because of their sexual identity. So, you know, talking about an act, a sexual act versus violence need not have been conflated.
It's not violence, it's also discrimination.
Yeah.
And I think these petitions deal with that aspect. In fact, if you recall, the Delhi High Court had struck down Section 377, saying that it was discriminatory against a particular group of individuals.
The state never took that up,
And that it therefore violated fundamental rights, which are guaranteed, particularly the right to equality and equal treatment. So clearly, I would say that the laws in India need to change and move with the times. And,
but you, the vote couldn't have been different irrespective of what's going on in the Supreme Court?
I mean, it's a bit difficult because you have these laws on the one hand and the special representative or the special expert, independent expert as he's called, will really be looking into countries where there is discrimination, where there is harassment. So I think at the moment, perhaps abstention was the best that could be done. But the real focus has to be on changing those laws, because I think criminalizing, you know, sexual activity of any group on the basis of consenting adults in private, I think is something which is very last century.
Okay.
And, you know, we would then be on the wrong side of history if we continue
I think we are currently on the wrong side of history on this. Krishna Sagar Rao, spokesperson of the BJP, are joining us from Hyderabad. You've heard, obviously, the government's rationale for having abstained at the UN Human Rights Council to set up the office of this independent expert that's going to be looking into the protection of the rights of LGBT individuals from violence and discrimination. you know, the government has spoken, but as the party, what is your view on this abstention? Do you think that India could have taken a clear position on this vote?
Maya, first of all, I don't speak for the government. I speak for the party.
And right. The government, I'm asking you the party's view.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes. The government, the MEA will make an announcement either today or tomorrow regarding the clear position of India on the LGBT issue. Having said that, India is not the only government which has abstained. Please understand that South Africa and Philippines and some other countries along with India also have abstained.
That doesn't make a difference to the question, sir.
No, Maya, please let me answer.
Yeah.
Because these countries also, and these are not third world countries, please, I want the country to know that some of the countries in the world haven't formulated exactly the stand on LGBT for a variety of reasons, and in specific to India, there are three major reasons. Number one being we are a multicultural population, we have a huge multicultural population, and we need to have a larger discussion and debate on the LGBT rights and what is our exact stand should be, and how, where do we stand. And we also have a heterogeneous population. When I talk about heterogeneous, you understand the spectrum. And the third is that we haven't experienced the kind of a cultural transformation like in West and you know, the other regions where they have been exposed to LGBT issues since 3 to 4 decades.
Hmm.
And the knowledge and the awareness socially and culturally about LGBT issues and rights,
okay,
has happened only in the, I mean, actively happened only in about a decade's time. So
right.
I think India requires time. We are only seeking time. We are not being indifferent. We are not being disrespectful.
Okay, all right.
We are not being third world.
Understood your point. I'm going to bring Apoorva Asrani into this as well. You're joining us from Mumbai. Apoorva, you had written quite vocally when Orlando happened and the Prime Minister had condemned the killings in Orlando, but there was no reference by him to the fact that the victims were members of the LGBT community. Now, that's something that was on everybody's mind in Geneva as they voted to bring in the office of the special rapporteur. India abstained. Now, one of the reasons, one of the arguments that have been given is because that there are cases pending before the Supreme Court. India was not able to take a clear stand. But an abstention itself is not a vote against. Do you agree with that? That this is some progress for India, that they didn't actually vote against it, but they abstained?
Well, I think, you know, this is, we're just passing the buck from one side to the other. You
yeah.
know. What the Supreme Court actually said, and we must understand this, what the Supreme Court actually said when the... In 2012, when Section 377, when homosexuality was recriminalized, was that it is a matter for Parliament to decide.
Right.
So they had passed the buck to Parliament. So if the Supreme Court, the highest court of India, has said it is in the hand of legislature, if it's in the hand of politicians, if it's in the hand of Parliament, then they haven't done anything about it in spite of the private members bill being introduced a couple of times, in spite of, you know. So today when they go to the United Nations, they say it's because it's pending in Supreme Court. When you've had the power to change, to change it, it is in your hands.
Yeah.
The reason it's going back to Supreme Court is because you're doing nothing
about it.
This is something that we have to take cognizance of.
I think that's a fair point. I think, Meera Shankar, before I come back to the others, I want you to comment on this, because there does seem to be, in a sense, a passing of the buck. Now, Krishna Sagar Rao is making the case so that India wasn't the only country that abstained. There were other countries. It doesn't matter what other countries' positions are. We're looking at what our position is on a matter of personal liberty.
Of course. And certainly, I would hope that the laws would change. Because... really, it's a law of 1860, if you look at it. And, you know, one high court has seen fit to say that it violates other fundamental rights enshrined in the Constitution. Thereafter, it has been set aside by the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court has, as the previous panelists said, said it's something for the Parliament to consider.
So, in a sense, it's passing the buck. Everyone's passing the buck onto the other. So, where does the MEA stand on this?
It's not a law which MEA pilots.
Right.
This is something which is UN diplomacy, which is a different aspect, but the fundamental aspect is to change the law. And that is something which is with the Home Ministry, and they pilot it. We are a conservative society, and nevertheless, evolving in the direction of hopefully
greater
liberalism and individual choice
on
matters of how we choose to live our life, with whom we choose to live our lives, and so on. So I would really hope that we do find a way to create a consensus to move forward on decriminalizing homosexuality.
I'm going to come back to you in a second. Father Saravamuthu Shankar, I want you to come in on this, because, you know, we've heard the arguments about cultural sensitivities, about conservative societies, that the other countries that abstained are not third world countries. How is any of this relevant? I mean, the point is, when you talk about cultural sensitivity, the countries that have actually voted against this very clearly are all members of the Organization of Islamic Countries. They have talked about how religious sensitivities must be taken into consideration. They managed to push that amendment through.
Divine laws. Divine laws is what they say. Divine laws.
Yeah. How is it okay for religion to stand in the way of people exercising their own personal choice?
No, the Catholic Church has been very clear. Right from beginning, anything that is discriminatory, we are against it.
So would you have supported India voting in favor of this rapporteur's office at the UN?
Surely, because we need to go ahead, because it's not just a minority. It's a great number of people who are part of it. Therefore, when it comes to basic human rights, all of us are equal. When we say all of us are equal before the law, it means it has to be made equal. We cannot have some law which is discriminated and call everybody is equal before the law.
So then why are members of your community also opposing the repealing of Section 377?
See, they are very small groups. It's not the official position of the Catholic Church in India. Therefore, it needs to be distinguished. Whereas we always say we are against any kind of discrimination, but then at the same time, we cannot stop them from filing a petition, because it's also their freedom. But then it's up to the SBF, it's both the parliament and the court.
All right. So I'm going to bring this back to our politicians. Salman Soz, I haven't come to you, so let me ask you. Everybody on this table, everybody on this discussion seems to be of the view that India needs to keep up with the times. We definitely need to look at repealing Section 377. It's retrograde in the worst possible way any law can be in this country. We have, in a sense, squandered an opportunity to show our position to the world at this vote at the United Nations. But, you know, politicians pass the buck. Apurva has made the point that Supreme Court passed the buck back to Parliament. Now it's hearing curative petitions. Individual members of Parliament have gotten up and spoken against 377. They've tried to introduce private members' bills. It's not so easy. Everyone can sit around this table and say, we should change. But why is no one changing then?
Well, first of all, let me just say this very clearly, that as far as the LGBT community is, they should have the same rights as any other citizen in this country. And I think 377, and this is not just I, but the party, our Congress party, our leadership, we do not believe that 370, criminalizing sexual orientation or personal behavior is the right way to go. I personally, not just personally, our party feels that by abstaining at the UN vote today, there was, the idea was to defend those who are discriminated against, those who are constantly targeted.
They are victims
and
of hate
India
crime.
Should have stood by. India should have stood by. India should have stood by the LGBT community without reservation. And abstaining is a very, I'm sorry to say, this is not a good way to go.
Yeah.
And by the way, the BJP keeps talking about this is a heterogeneous country, this is a diverse country. Of course, that is why we should be respecting everybody's rights.
All right.
And by
before,
the way, one final point. In 2015, when the UN Secretary General, wanted, a marriage equality for UN staff, India voted against that.
Okay.
India voted against that resolution was passed, but India voted against that,
yes,
and that
absolutely.
Time they made
that's
some other excuse.
That's the one that we were talking about.
I think the BJP is wrong. The BJP is wrong. The BJP should join hands with the Congress party, decriminalize,
well, there are several members of the Congress party as well Indians, who are not supportive of this position, Salman. I think we need to be
that
honest
may be
about...
So, but that may be so. Yeah. That may be so, but the leadership of the Congress party and the Congress party, we believe that all people in India... The LGBT community, they should have the same rights as everybody else.
All right, Apoorva, before I go back, to the BJP, Apoorva, you wanted to come in and make a point. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, the reason that is being given here that, you know, they abstained from voting because we abstained from voting because the matter is sub judice. Now, you are talking about your citizens, you're talking about human beings who are living, breathing human beings who are paying their taxes, who are guaranteed by the Constitution to equal rights. So it's akin to saying that if tomorrow somebody opened fire at a big group of LGBTQ people in this country and kill them, then the law couldn't protect them because it's sub judice.
Yeah.
So you are not protecting us. It's akin to saying the same thing, because then the law can turn around and say, well, you know, we don't recognize the status. Their status, our status is that of human beings. We are not violating the law in any way. My. You know, we are tax-paying, law-abiding citizens.
Yeah, Krishna Sagar Rao, come in on that.
Victims of...
Yeah, because that is a point. In fact, the question that's being raised is, you know, the argument that's been given is that it's sub judice, it's pending before the court. Indian law and the need to change Indian law is one thing on decriminalizing gay sex at this point in time. That's a separate argument. Today's vote was really not about the status of these petitions in the Supreme Court. It was about protecting... India's LGBT community, or in fact the world's LGBT community, from hate crime. Why is that so difficult to sign on?
Yeah.
Hey, may I request you a scripted response, because I have to respond to more people than one.
Yeah, go ahead.
See, the first thing is, it's a speculation that the Indian government has never anywhere stated that it is because of the sub judice issue.
Yes,
that
they have. The Ministry of External Affairs has issued a statement this evening. Mr. Krishna Sagar Rao, the MEA spokesperson, issued a statement this evening.
That is only one of the factors. They said it is one of the factors. Please,
yes, so what are
understand?
The other factors?
Let me respond.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The other factors I'll explain. See, please look at this resolution passed in the context of the June 12th attack on the LGBT bar in Orlando.
All the more reason
and,
India should
this
sign
happened
on.
Don't you let me complete? You have allowed other people to complete.
Maya,
what I'm trying to say is, we are the largest democracy in the world. We also have, you know, the ability to take decisions on our own. We cannot be cajoled or forced into any decision. Now, the UN resolution, this is the fourth one. And this is being pushed, you know, a little ahead of time. And the schedules were because of the Orlando incident. Now, the government of India hasn't made up his mind yet to, you know, which way to go because of several other issues. And the second factor is because we will do it at our own pace. Now, if you look at the irreversible decision we have to take at this particular resolution, you cannot just rush because America wants you to rush. And John Kerry has made a statement. No, please listen to me. John Kerry has made a statement that many countries have meddled with the resolution and we had to adopt it, and I am not very happy about it.
Yeah.
So he's stating that the other countries do not have right to even meddle with the resolution in terms of introducing their viewpoints.
Yeah, okay.
So we haven't gone into the flow of this particular issue.
All right.
Because we do
we
it at our own pace.
We don't want to be bullied by the West
decisions.
Is what you're saying. The point
we,
to make
yeah,
is we
exactly,
don't want to be
bullied
exactly. by the West. Okay, all right.
And
Apoorva,
and,
very quick
and
response.
Maya, just give me 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And we didn't obstruct like Russia did. Russia has obstructed this particular resolution. All Islamic nations have obstructed. And they have opposed
citing
this resolution.
Citing reasons
we
that you have cited,
so
Mr.
Please
Rao,
understand.
About religious considerations. I mean, the OIC issued a statement saying that there were religious sensitivities involved. That's an argument you're making on behalf of India as a reason as well.
No,
so, you know, just because they voted no and we abstained, I mean, like I said, this is open to interpretation.
See,
I'm going to
bring
it back.
We abstained for another...
All right. I'm going to bring it back to Apoorva and Salman
to
take the decision but Meera Shankar, I
with
want you to
strength
respond.
Another time.
Krishna Sagar Rao, you're talking about how the MEA decided.
What?
Let's get a diplomat's point of view. Let's get a diplomat's point of view on this. Meera
what
Shankar,
the gentleman...
No, I'm only saying, Maya, I'm only saying...
Gentleman, what the gentleman...
Apoorva,
that we could make a decision on strength.
Yes, yes.
I'll come back to you in a second. Meera Shankar, I wanted to respond to what Krishna Sagar Rao is talking about in terms of the rationale. On the one hand, the official response has been because these cases are in court, the matter is sub judice. That is why this statement has not, this vote has not been given. Do you buy this argument about not wanting to be bullied by the West or because the schedule was rushed because of Orlando? These decisions, I mean, you've been
really
a diplomat forever.
I don't think that, you know, this would, you know, when there's a question of principle which is right, then I don't think the issue of whether you are bullied or somebody else has put it forward should become relevant.
Hmm.
But I think what does become relevant in such issues is what is your domestic status with regard to an issue. And in this case, because the laws in India are still such that they criminalize homosexuality, I think there may have been some inhibition in terms of supporting it. Also, I think that generally on many, you know, special rapporteurs which have been appointed by the UNHCR, whether it is Sri Lanka or many others, India tends to abstain on several of them because we have been a little reluctant to have finger pointing on issues. We have always believed that you can promote human rights by example and by practical work. Like, we contribute to the UN Democracy Fund.
Yeah.
We want to help countries with training. We sometimes feel it's not very helpful in creating consensus in conservative societies if there is finger-pointing.
Okay. All right. Apoorva, you wanted to make a point when I asked Ms. Shankar the question. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. I mean, what the gentleman from Hyderabad keeps saying over and over is we need more time. We haven't made a decision on it yet. I mean, how much more time do we need to actually address this issue? We have to begin somewhere. Nobody is willing to use the word gay or LGBT anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, no politician besides say Shashi Tharoor and besides a couple of politicians from the BJP, nobody will actually ever address this issue. And you keep saying that it's only been 30-40 years. I mean, this country has been for hundreds of years has been comfortable with the idea of homosexuality. The problem is a recent problem. The problem is as recent as 1860.
1860, absolutely.
So this problem has come from the West.
Okay,
has come
all right.
From these from Salman Victorian Sos. Values.
Okay, Salman
these divine
Sos
laws that people talk about. So,
yeah, I'll come to you, Mr. Rao, in a second. Salman Sos, very quickly. We have a minute, so I'm going to give you all 15 seconds each. 15 seconds, Salman Sos.
No, I think Apoorva talked about Shashi Tharoor, but he should also talk about Mrs. Sonia Gandhi, who on December 12, 2013, you know, respectfully disagreed with the Supreme Court verdict, which struck down the High Court, Delhi High Court judgment on
decriminalizing
gay sex. So it's not.
But nobody.
No, but
it's not about individual. It's not about an individual that, person.
My point.
Nobody did. An example.
The Congress didn't do anything. The BJP didn't do anything.
My point is that
the
Congress Party is ready to work with the BJP. The Congress Party is ready to work with the BJP. Let the BJP come forward. Let the Prime Minister come forward. We will work with him on this issue because this
where
is about
is
Indians.
The political
this is about
will
Indian citizens.
To do this in
they have
Parliament.
Rights.
I think the question is that we can toss this between the courts back and forth, back and forth.
We are there. We can talk about our party. Mr. Krishna Sagar Rao should talk about his party. Let the Prime Minister come forward and let him be a leader.
All right. We have 10 seconds, Krishna Sagar Rao. I cannot give you more than 10 seconds. Wrap it up.
See, Mr. Sos is right. I think Bharatiya Janata Party has already taken a decision. We are for non-discriminatory, full-fledged rights for the LGBT community. There is no question about it.
I think
no,
our constitution.
No, you're
one
not.
Second,
no,
one second.
All right. Okay.
One
that second.
Is wrong.
We
no,
believe.
No, you're not.
One second.
You're not.
One second,
I think
man.
We have
I mean,
to wrap
why
it up.
Why are you speaking for me?
Why
are you speaking
there
for
are
me?
Enough members
don't
of your party.
Did you join BJP?
Krishna,
did you join BJP?
Krishna Sagar Rao and Salman Soos. All right, you know, Krishna Sagar Rao and Salman Soos, this is about people out on the street who are actually being impacted by an archaic law. It doesn't seem to impact our politicians as much as it does the ordinary citizen, but the change really needs to be affected from there. We can be debating about this today. We have been for the last several years. And if the way things are going, we're going to be doing this for the next several years, that's a really tragic comment on the liberal democracy we claim to be, we are today. We'll have to wrap it at that. Thank you all very much for watching The Buck Stops here tonight.